This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown, and the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
At Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on The Score.
So if you're the Bears, how do you approach it? If you beat the Lions, you're the two seed.
We're playing to win this week.
Which means you get the Packers at Soldier Field.
You get to be at home against everyone except San Francisco.
But it's
theoretically.
But it's assuredly the Packers.
Yeah, you're getting the Packers if you're the two seed.
Green Bay Packers. Too much cheese for me. I'm lactose and intolerant.
I mean, you got to try and play and win and get the Packers again, don't you?
I just look at it. It's pretty simple to me. You're trying to stay at home as long as possible.
I'm home. Home is safe. Home is safe.
And winning the game allows you to stay home with the only place that you have to go is a nice place. Like one that's not going to, like from a weather standpoint, that's the only place you have to go is there.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to go back to Philly to win another game, anything like that.
Right. If they were blind resumes, you would go, I want to play that team. But it's the Packers. So to say that feels like it evokes like a curse. You know what I mean?
To
like
say you want the Packers.
Yes, it's like you're inviting the vampire into the house by saying that you want the Packers in a playoff game.
It hurts. Yes. Good. It will hurt more. Where am I? You don't remember everything you've done for 100 years. In a moment, you will. They will haunt you.
It just reminded me of the game that Spice Adams brought up when he was on this show a few weeks ago, when they let them in, when Lovey and the Bears did not beat the Packers in the final week of the regular season. What was that, 2010? And the Packers made the playoffs and then ended up beating the Bears in the NFC Championship game.
I unzipped me. It's all coming back. It's all coming back. I hate you. It's all coming back. You understand? I don't like it. I don't like to think about it.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
We appreciate you hanging out with us tonight here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. It's nice. It's the sun didn't quite go down at 4:30.
Well, that's right, because we've gone over the hump. We have passed the longest or the shortest day.
Yes, but we're getting most of the sunlight in the morning now. Kevin Jeans does a really good job on his Instagram of explaining all this stuff. But yes, it was nice to look out and be like, oh, there's the sun for like a half a second.
Man, no sun, it does something to a person.
I know.
It really does. And my wife is that person.
I'm also, your partner is one of those people too.
Well, how do you know that's not who I was referring to? My wife or my radio partner. No, so both of us.
Wow.
Both my wife and my radio partner have issues with that. The sun needs to come back at some point.
Yeah. People are like, why do you keep going out west? There's a reason.
That's why.
Yeah.
Might work
one of them. One of them.
Yeah, that's one of them. Yeah, no,
there are multiple.
There are other reasons.
By the way, I didn't say this when we had Matt Bowen on, but the segment with Matt Bowen is brought to you by McGrath, Acura, and Westmont. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath.
Look, are you a local business owner or employee? Before we get into the sexy football, would you like to have your commercial air during Super Bowl 60 right here on The Score? Here is your chance. We are bringing back The Score Big for Your Business contest.
I love this contest.
Me too. It's really cool, and it's had great results the past couple years. You can enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on The Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 60 from Westwood One. Massive listenership, obviously, during the Super Bowl. And we chat about you before and after, too. And new this year, you can win a live broadcast for your brand. So what? Log on to 670thescore.com/contests to enter now and learn more details. Deadline to enter is January 18th. I'll give you the website again. If you own a local business or you have a local business, 670thescore.com/contests. Score Big for Your Business is sponsored by People's Bank, where better banking keeps moving forward. Member FDIC.
Thanks to People's Bank. This is one of my favorite things that we do as a radio station because it actually helps out. And here's the added bonus. Over the last 2 years, when we were talking about this, there was no chance that the Chicago team would play in that game. This year, there's a chance that that would happen. And if that were to be the case, we have the Westwood One call of that game.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
Which means that you would be listening to it here on The Score. So if you were ever wondering on what the highest rated day to, as it stands right now, the highest rated day on The Score this year was game 5 of the Cubs.
Of the Cubs and the Brewers.
Uh-huh.
I was there. It did not end well.
It did not end well. I would tell you that if the Chicago team makes it to that game and that game is broadcast here on The Score,
mm-hmm,
that would be the highest rated day.
Why could the Bears make that game? Why could the Bears potentially be in that game? What would be the biggest reason?
The impact that Ben Johnson has had on this franchise has been immense. And what's cool about it is as we're watching all of these things play out last week, Spiegs, where you're watching this incredible offensive game with two of the best guys in the league, this season has been a journey, I think, for Bears fans where you aren't looking over at the other sideline going, man, I wish we had one of those. You have one of those.
Yes, we do.
You've got the coach where other teams are looking around going, man, what if our quarterback had Ben Johnson? What if our franchise had Ben Johnson? And know that in the hiring cycle, there were at least two teams that were out with their love for Ben Johnson, the Raiders and the Cowboys. And he chose this one. He chose to be the guy that's in charge of the Bears. And now when you're watching Bears games, you're looking at a guy that's out here making calls and scheming things up and scheming guys open and has such a great sense of offensive football,
mm-hmm,
that you never feel like you're at a deficit. You're not coveting. Like that's where Bears fans are at now with a coach. You don't have to covet the other team's coach. You don't have to look up in Green Bay and go, man, that LaFleur guy, he seems to really understand the game. You don't have to, even with Shanahan last week,
yeah,
you can go, our guys is good. Is that guy with Dan Campbell. Man, I wish we had a coach that was tough. You have one.
That's the part we didn't know. That's the part we didn't know until we started hearing some stuff, and then we started listening to him, and then we started seeing the evidence. Could he be a tough-minded football leader in addition to the offensive brain? And he is that. Right? He's that too.
He's all of those things. And it's just, I love it because it's so different. That's why I asked Hogue that question yesterday. having been someone who covered the team for 15 years, so my time covering the team overlaps with Hoag, right? To go from that desert of, well, maybe this coach will be the coach that does it. And look, there's still a lot of stuff that we have to find out about Ben Johnson. But I think that the place that the Bears are in, and not to, I don't want to dog Matt Nagy out, and we're going to talk about him in the next segment, by the way.
But we need to compare this year to 2018.
Yes.
We have to.
And I would tell you that this, there feels like there's more confidence in what Ben Johnson is doing right now than even with a team that was 12-4.
Yeah.
And really good under Matt Nagy, there were limitations. You looked at the quarterback, you're like, okay, like I could see how it might work, but there wasn't anything outside of the Tampa Bay game that was convincing. It's so funny because when Big Ant was in here, we were talking about that season, and I remember vividly, week 12, Big Ant and I were talking in the hallway or something, and he's like, something's not right. And I said, you know, I've been feeling the same way about the Bears. And then as the season went on, it got more and more telling, like, what was wrong with them. As this season's gone on, you walk away more and more confident on what's happening. Like, it was almost like the 18 team, like, reached a summit and were then just, like, hanging on to that summit. And then the double doink happens and it just feels terrible. With this team, it feels like, hey, like, are they all right?
I think I know why. I think I know why that is. Because for any like offensive genius, there's a system that they come with, right? But then they need to adjust and they need to flip what they do and change and mold what they do to the personnel and maybe week to week in the game plan. They need to be flexible and show you an ability to adjust. Matt Nagy didn't have that. He came in with one thing, and he's only ever coached in one thing, which is Andy Reid's system. That's all he ever had. And he didn't have a pivot. His pivot was to give up play calling.
Twice.
His pivot was to tell Bill Lazor to do some stuff. It's funny.
Pew.
Ben Johnson referenced Bill Lazor a couple weeks ago because he was working with him in Miami when they took what Mike Martz did and molded that into part of what they were doing. But even that reference and the way he talked about that shows you what you've now come to learn and believe in Ben Johnson. He can coach a bunch of different styles. He can adjust what he does to fit the scheme, the personnel, and the opponents. And folks, we've already seen him do that this year.
Yep.
We saw a massive pivot in week 5 when he said, all right, we need to commit to the running game. We figured out what's something we can do, and let's go ahead and do that.
Want to win a fist fight?
Yeah.
I can do that, too.
All right, I think we're best equipped to win a fist fight. Instead of asking my quarterback just to save us as if he were Pat Mahomes or as if he were Jared Goff. He's not. Maybe someday he will be, but he's not now. Let's do something else. And he did it. And he's shown us week to week different stuff in the game plan and putting stuff in and the volume of different looks. Matt Nagy never showed us that. We've seen more in 1 year from Ben Johnson in this way than we saw in Matt Nagy's entire 5 years as a Bears coach.
You brought up Mike Martz. While you were out, we had Mike Martz on. He also said that he could have done better by Jay, by the way, in that conversation that we ended up having with him. But he gushed about the job that Ben Johnson is doing, specifically when it comes to bringing the quarterback along.
I was passing the torch from Don Coryell, Ernie Zampezi, Norv Turner, you know, and all those guys in the digit system in terms of getting the ball out quick into holes and, you know, making the quarterbacks read simpler instead of keen defenders. You're looking where you want to throw it and get off it if there's color. You know, I see that in what Ben's doing. You know, the ball comes out so much faster. He's very decisive, and that was not Caleb in the past. He wanted to run around with it a little bit and make throws, and the transition that he's made, he's not there yet, but he's on his way, and it's fun. The precision of what he does in the passing game, I guess, is the biggest part that I grab a hold of and like and feel like the torch is being passed through. You know, I don't claim to be anywhere near Ben Johnson. I think he's exceptional. I think time will tell. He could end up being as good as there is, but I just can't speak highly enough of him and what he's done there.
How about that? That was a wonderful interview you guys did.
Thanks.
With Mike Martz. I mean, he's been great every time that we've had a chance to talk to him, so I'm not surprised.
We also had to break the news to him that the Bears were thinking about moving to Indiana.
Yeah, that was...
That was bizarre.
It's rude of Kevin Warren to slide that in to the Mike Martz conversation.
It was very strange. Hmm. But Mike was ready because he worked with Kevin Warren.
Mm-hmm.
So he had thoughts on it. And he was like, yeah, I can't really see the Bears being in Indiana, though.
Here's the thing about, like, a great offensive mind and play caller who can build something that's lasting. You will have to end up doing it with different quarterbacks. You really want to show that you can do it, and you'll have to do it with different quarterbacks and show that you can do it with slightly different styles. I always think of Joe Gibbs, who was an offensive genius of the run game. And Wani brings up Joe Gibbs all the time. We'll talk to Wani tomorrow. When talking about Ben Johnson and some of the counter plays and stuff that they run, he drew one up. He drew up a Joe Gibbs play. Joe Gibbs made Super Bowls with Mark Rippon, Joe Theismann, Jay Schrader, and Doug Williams. You know? Like, Andy Reid has made playoffs, has made it deep into the playoffs, if not Super Bowls, with Donovan McNabb and Alex Smith.
And Patrick Mahomes.
And Patrick Mahomes and Jeff Garcia.
Jeff Garcia.
And Kevin Cobb and Mike Vick. You know? Like,
those are very different quarterbacks.
Stone. Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh.
Steve
not
Young,
Steve Walsh.
Joe Montana.
Bill Walsh with Steve Young and then Joe Montana. Or Joe Montana, then Steve Young. Different quarterbacks.
Completely.
But found a way to make that stuff work. Like, you want to be a great one, you're going to have to mold and change. And I believe that Ben, and look at Kyle Shanahan, look at McVay. McVay has made it to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff, and he won one with Matthew Stafford. You know, they're different dudes. Look at Kyle Shanahan, made it to a Super Bowl with
Matt Ryan.
With Matt Ryan down in Atlanta. But even in San Francisco, right? With what's his name from with Jimmy Garoppolo. He made a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, it's unbelievable to think about what he's done. This is not, he's made it work with Brock Purdy, a Mr. Irrelevant. He made it work with they won games with Mac Jones this year.
And people were like, get Mac Jones more opportunities. Then Brock Purdy came back and they're like, sorry about that.
The great offensive minds who are head coaches supersede the talent.
McCorkle.
I mean, Mike Holmgren did a lot with Brett Favre. But then he went to Seattle and did pretty damn well with Matt Hasselbeck. You know, it's crazy. You can be very special, but you got to show that you can do it with different kinds of quarterbacks. And I think Ben has shown you, man, Caleb Williams is a very different quarterback than Jared Goff. And we know it. And here we are.
And look at what he's done. When we come back, we want to hip you to something that you should definitely take the time to read. In fact, maybe you should take the time to read it during the break. Dan Pompey's piece on Matt Nagy is really interesting on a lot of different levels and a human level, and that reached my partner, Matt Spiegel.
So if you don't want to read it, we'll take care of it for you because we've read it.
For sure. But we also, you know, Dan's one of our guys.
Without
so
a
please
doubt.
Go read the piece and support The Athletic and in all of their endeavors.
For sure. But we've also distilled some of the things that Matt Nagy says he would do differently.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I always wondered about this from the approach of the walkabout. And it looks like he did it, but we'll explain. And we're going to give Matt Nagy a lot of credit, and we're going to walk you through some of this. So don't go anywhere. It's next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
we had heard Ben Johnson say at the beginning of the season, maybe it was even before that, maybe it was his introductory press conference, a long time ago, many moons ago, Ben Johnson said he expected this team to be playing its best ball in December. Logic would dictate that with a first head coach of a team who hadn't been here yet, that yes, the longer time you spend with him for a first-time head coach, you're probably going to be playing your better ball at the end of the year. But it's actually happening, as we've seen. And even though the Bears did lose to the 49ers 42-38, they still played a very good game. And Ben Johnson in the film study talked about the progress that the offense has made.
For you to have the trust level to call that in that moment, I mean, that must really, they must really have changed the way you can call a game now if you are confident enough that they can run something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's I've got immense amounts of trust for everybody on that, on the offense right now. I think, like I said, it's just every week you just see them go about their business. And, you know, I'm not going to call a play that I don't fully believe in, that we're not going to execute at the highest level. And so we'll always, if we go down, we're going to go down swinging like that.
He was asked about running the hook and lateral, which we've talked about, and there is a history there with Ben Johnson calling it against the 49ers. But that's also a good point. Your game is on the line. You don't know how much time you have left to run the next play, which the team talked about. You think you're going to score there. To call a trick play when the game is on the line, that gives you an indication of the progress he thinks the offense has made.
Yeah, and you know, you can question the decision based on the fact that they didn't have maybe enough time to get what they wanted to get off next. If it does not work, you know, your plan B, your fallback, however you want to put it. But I love where Ben Johnson is, not only with his confidence in the offense, but obviously the team's confidence in his playmaking ability and the fact that they seem to be of one accord from the quarterback on out. And I say on out and not on down, because for a football play to work, that's 11 guys in unison doing their jobs. It's not just Caleb Williams. It's not just the receiver target or the running back that's being handed the ball. It's that entire offensive line. It's the tight ends. Everybody's got to get the job done. And I'm seeing something in Chicago, which I don't know when the last time this happened in Chicago is, everyone being on the same page offensively. As you said earlier, Mark, it's like a new and era that's never been explored before, where it's an offense first football team.
Right, which is why it's very easy to give the benefit of the doubt to Ben Johnson. Like, he can, it's almost like he's in that zone of can do no wrong, which isn't the truth, especially if he is the one that was, as he said, as he admitted, late getting the play call. And I know that's not the play we're talking about. The only thing I'll say about the hook and ladder is, and maybe this is just me, play like that, or any of the, and you put that in the trickery, that's a trick play, right? Hook and ladder?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a trick play. I'd be more comfortable seeing that not in the last 30 seconds of a game. I get it. We'd all be celebrating right now if it had worked and the intention was to get the ball into the end zone right there. I understand all of that. Like, we would be celebrating, but I'm uncomfortable with it that late in the game. I just am.
I think that's a fair thing to say. Yeah. I mean, we talk about gadget play because, you know, technically that'd be considered like a gadget play.
Gadget trickery.
Are you kidding? It was the plot for Varsity Blues.
So the gadget play, it's like
oop-de-oop, hook and ladder.
What is it? Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, where Rick Moranis' character is inventing all the things, like the thing that you wake up in the morning that'll fix your coffee. Sometimes you can just put the pot and turn it on. You don't have to do all the gadget things. The domino falls in the direction to make it go on. No, just put the pot, get the water boiling, and we'll go from there to make the tea.
I think you, though, hear the coach's trust level of the offense. Like, say what you want about the play call. I didn't necessarily mind it. I minded what happened afterward because there appeared to be no plan B.
Yeah.
And you should have one, especially when that play was run against the 49ers by Ben Johnson the year before. So they were looking out for it. But when it comes to the coach's level of trust in his team to be able to do it, that says a lot. And it is an excellent example. And that was unprovoked. Ben Johnson brought up the way he did that discussion after that question. So I think it's fair to illustrate how he feels about his team being able to execute his concepts, which is something that we wondered about. Well, he's not the only one who's noticed that the Bears are better. Listen to what Dan Campbell has had to say about watching this team since he last saw them.
They're more polished. They're a better team. You know, they've really, since that time, they lead the league in takeaways on defense. You know, they're getting them, man. It's like we talk about, it's contagious for them. Those guys are getting them in a good way. Got one the other night. You know, once again, it turned it to a touchdown. So, and it's much more sound, you know. DA's got his system in, and it's grown and developed. You know, they're keeping teams out of the end zone, keeping the offense ahead. You know, that's what you got to do on defense, man. Get the takeaways. That's big. And then offensively, they're more polished, you know. Ben's done a good job. The system is in. And these little things that were there game two, game one, you know, they've begun to go away. You know, they've got a run game. They found a run game. Play action pass. Caleb's playing really well. O-line's playing really well. Got a run game. Swift's running well. 25 is he's a downhill hard runner too. So tight end's playing good, both of them. Really all three of them. So, you know, they're playing at a high level. You know, they're doing things well, much more polished.
You know how we play the game? Is this petty?
Yes.
Was that sad?
Hell no. He put 52 points up on the Bears and enjoyed every minute of that embarrassing day.
But the way he was talking?
With a sympathetic tone?
Did it sound forlorn?
He does sound like, I've noticed this about Dan Campbell in general. When you hear the rhythm of his voice, he always sounds like he's about to cry or just got done crying, even when he's happy.
Well, do you know why?
Why?
It's the North Texas accent.
Is that what it
people
is?
People say that about me too.
Really?
We're from about 200 miles apart in that region. Yeah.
Huh. I would say.
Same thing.
Interesting.
And maybe it's more of like a suburban thing than a cosmopolitan thing. But okay. Yes. I mean, he's from the actual like country. Like they found dinosaur tracks out there and stuff, but
sick.
Yeah, I think it might be the accent, the dialect, or whatever.
That is awesome. I saw dinosaur tracks in Utah one time.
It was
did? Awesome.
Did you put it on the company card? They got mad at you? No, that was the zoo.
No, that was the San Diego zoo. I'm sorry, sir. We can't have a $60 charge for you to go to the zoo and look at giraffes and monkeys.
No, I think it might be the dialect because I've heard that too.
That's interesting. Okay, I didn't know there was something to it.
But knowing that, I still think he sounds a little forlorn.
I think he sounds like a guy who knows his team is a shell of what it was. They've missed the playoffs.
Detroit sucks.
Everything has flipped since that week two win.
Where's Robbie? Is Robbie still working?
It looked like they had gotten their mojo back. Because remember what happened to them in week one against the Packers. So they got their mojo back temporarily, and now they're not even going to the playoffs. And they can't even... It's not even that they're not going to the playoffs. It's that they're not going to the playoffs, and they can't even stop the Bears from doing anything. They can't even play spoiler this week.
And that's why this is the first of hopefully other Super Bowls.
Yeah.
You have to look at this like this is the Super Bowl of beating the Lions.
Do you know that the Lions
on Sunday,
they're coming off a game where they turned the ball over
six times. It's a lot of times to turn the ball over.
Yeah. So they don't have their bleep straight right now.
So they've got four more Super Bowls this season, potentially.
Yeah, in theory.
The Bears are going to play in four
Super
Bowls?
This is the Super Bowl of the Sunday for the Bears.
Well, the Week 18 Super Bowl, then they've got the Wild Card Super Bowl, the Divisional Super Bowl, the NFC Championship Super Bowl. Oh, there's one more.
And then the big game.
Yeah,
I like it when Dustin calls it big game, whatever volume number it is.
Yes.
Big game 45 or what have you.
I love it all.
Because of saying Super Bowl rules.
Yeah, you can say it. You just can't say it in a promotion that you're getting money from.
Right, or as Dustin does to the four-letter network. He's never been able to bring himself to say ESPN.
Yeah, like, I'll just say ESPN.
Yeah.
Like, the jig is up. You guys watch ESPN.
You know.
We all watch ESPN. There's games on.
Yeah.
ESPN.
That's true. But, yeah,
no,
that's
in
all
fact,
right.
Robbie had a picture. He posted a picture from the First Things First set.
So I liked
Robbie
it. I
has landed.
Our little Robbie is all grown up and doing a TV show now.
I double tapped it.
It was a very nice set.
See, go back to what we said. Go back to what we said. What was that? Two segments ago? Big Bank Take Little Bank?
Yeah, Big Bank Take Little Bank.
And now take that and pair it with what just happened.
I don't know.
That's Mark Grady.
I don't know everything.
You're on Instagram. You double tapped. You said you liked it. That's what double tapping.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or do you actually go to the heart and hit the heart button?
Yeah, I do.
Depends.
I hit the heart button. I do.
Really?
Yeah.
You do that too? You don't just double tap the picture?
Depends, yeah.
In a career?
Also, there's just a lot of danger in just tapping all willy-nilly on Instagram.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you've liked something that you don't want to like.
Have you ever liked
something?
Or you've
accidentally reposted something you didn't want to repost.
Why don't I hit that repost button? You can quickly undo the repost. Post,
but like
repost.
I have smaller hands than you, and so holding a phone, my thumbs don't go out as far on the screen.
Aww.
are you a one hand holder when you're doing stuff?
I can't be.
I'm a two hand holder.
I cannot. I can't be like, a one
hand. What about the one arm guy?
Are you a one hand guy?
I'm a one arm guy. Yeah, with one hand guy. With yes.
Can
yeah,
you
oh, yeah.
text with one hand?
The only time I do this is if I'm walking because it's cold and I want both my hands to be cold.
I cannot text with one hand.
Really? You're a 2-year old.
She's saying she can't. Her thumb won't reach all the way across to get both sides of the screen.
Aw, I'm
That's
sorry.
What you're saying, right?
Yeah, which is why you just can't double tap all willy nilly on Instagram like that. Next thing you know,
it's a big picture or a big reel. Just double to that. Did it?
How about people who use their index fingers?
Okay, like, no, we're not doing that.
Do that?
I think my dad does. It's pretty sure. Like one finger.
It's 2025.
This
typewriters went out of style a long time ago.
Looking back.
Yeah, yeah, the readers. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My dad just cannot settle on social. Doesn't understand
it. I talk past our time, and this time is valuable because we got something to talk about.
Okay. I'll shut up.
You really want to talk about what's next?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Oh, the Bulls.
It all went downhill very quickly in the span of about 3.5 hours.
That's not a promo.
No.
Listen to miserableness.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Second and 10, Chicago going pass heavy here tonight. And it's completed by hands of Luther Burden, another rookie out of Missouri. 39th overall pick, picks up a first down, and Chris, they are raving about this player and his chances to grow along with Caleb Williams.
I think he's really going to be special. I do, and he's going to be playing a lot in the slot tonight. Alamide Zaccheaus, their usual slot, is out with the illness. But this guy, I'll talk about it a little bit later, but he has put up some numbers on yards per play that he's been in the passing game that rank with the top players in the National Football League.
That is Sunday Night Football. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Sunday Night Football is on NBC. And it was a great game for Luther Burden, as we know. The collective gasp whenever he was hurt on the final play could be heard, I'm pretty sure, all the way from San Francisco to here. So that gave me an indication of how much you're willing to lose when it comes to A, this time of year because it's football season, and then B, the importance of what he's meant to this Bears receiving game. He had 8 catches for 138 yards and a touchdown and put people on skates all game. It's what he does. And then if you understand that there's a possibility of losing Luther Burden, on top of the fact that you've already lost Rome Odunze to many games because of a stress fracture, and then you're asking yourself about the targets for DJ Moore, which we had discussed previously. Now, DJ was dealing with an illness in this last game. But then that leads you to ask the question, once again, as we saw Rome emerge earlier in the season, who is wide receiver one?
It's a great question. And the answer is very different today as we head into the final week of the regular season than it was at the start of the season by almost flipping on its head, because Luther Burden III wasn't available then, but he's definitely wide receiver one now.
Well, and then the next question is not only who is wide receiver one, but moving forward in this offense as we're seeing it develop, who should be?
Answer hasn't changed. It's Luther Burden III. Let me point to a very specific category, okay? Both Luther Burden III and Rome Odunze have 44 catches this season. The yards after the catch go Rome Odunze 214, Luther Burden III 307. what he's able to do with the ball in his hands once it gets there, that is almost a bigger story than the fact that he's had, what, one drop so far this season, maybe two drops all season long. He is electric with the ball in his hands. Roma Dunze is good. I'm not saying he's not good. But Luther Burden III is a steal in the second round. And I can't believe I'm saying this now because I remember how I felt when I saw them draft Luther Burden III. I was like, what is going on? They have receivers. They need other stuff. They need someone to, I don't know, get to the quarterback. That hasn't changed. But I can't deny what Luther Burden III has become in Ben Johnson's offense in his first season as a professional.
You got a rankings? Don't you have a rankings of guys?
Oh, I do. Yes.
Yeah. Let me hear
so
your
rankings. It's Luther Burden III. It's DJ Moore.
Okay. Who is DJ Moore? Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we doing all pass catchers or just receivers?
Wait, but what about your answer to the question?
Like, who is the top?
Who's receiver number one?
I still go DJ Moore. DJ Moore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me why you think that.
I still think he's the most clutch receiver on the team. He's the smartest receiver on the team. What he can do when he gets in space is pretty good, too. And I know Luther did great stuff on Luther Burden. He's been terrific at that. I just think that as a complete receiver, I still think DJ Moore is the best. And I know it's easy to say that because he just made a spectacular play in the last couple of games. So it's like, I get that, but I think from the beginning, it's DJ Moore for me, number one. Then I would probably go Luther Burden, then Rome, then Loveland. Or do I go Loveland over Rome?
See, that's why I asked the question about is this pass catcher or receiver?
That's why I wanted to ask who's number one, and then we get into rankings.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking.
Who's your number one?
I think the number one for me also should be DJ Moore. And it's not just because he's getting paid the most, although that does kind of help you figure out order of importance in a core and in a position room. It's that he was not only extended for a reason, but he's shown you on multiple teams what he is able to do. And I don't think that he has to be one and others who are not as good as him in order to get those targets. I think that a lot of what we're seeing, and Dave Wannstedt alluded to this, in a postgame show after the Packers win, he talked about Moore being in Caleb Williams' field vision. And he talked about how with certain times, based on defensive coverage, based on how you're flushed out of the pocket, for example, you're going to go either to your left or to your right. Caleb Williams, a lot of times when DJ Moore got more yards, was scrambling to his right, and DJ Moore was in his line of vision. So therefore, DJ Moore was the main target receiver at that time. And I think that that plays into this. So I think I like the plays that were designed, especially against Cleveland, where DJ Moore is running along the backside of the play. He's running across a formation. Other things that are able to make him the more primary read on some of these plays. I think number two right now has to be Burden. I'm still trying to figure out what the full skill set is to be utilized for Roma Dunze. And I don't say that as a knock. I say that as a compliment. Like, I know what I'm getting with Luther Burden based on what I've seen in his rookie season. I'm seeing a guy who's great out of the slot. I'm seeing somebody who is great at yak and rack. So for me, it's probably number one, DJ. Then it's number two, Luther Burden. Then it's number three, Roma Dunze. Do I put the tight ends in this? Are you guys doing tight ends?
Yeah, they're receivers
as well?
Too. Yeah, I think so.
Tight ends deserve love too?
I think so. I do.
Wait,
yeah.
Love?
Oh, got a lot of love. Got a lot of love. Very good.
Oh no, what do we do
so,
now?
So where does Loveland fall into your... Does he fall directly behind DJ Moore? Is Luther Burden III above him? Where's Roma Dunze in all this? That's why it's such a great question.
I think we all... I don't know, man. Like, this might be recency bias right now. Like, and Rome is injured because we're all saying that Luther Burden is better than Roma Dunze. Is that just because of what's been in front of us with Rome not playing and Luther Burden playing and playing very well? Like I said yesterday, like, all of the catches that he has made seemingly in the last few games, and I know he missed the Green Bay game, they're all big catches. Like, you literally look at just about every play that he made in this last game, as a matter of fact. The 35-yard touchdown catch in the first quarter down the middle, third and 10 catch for 14 yards on the final drive, 27-yard catch on third and 8, the 27-yarder in the third. Like, every play play that he makes is big. It's quality over quantity, seemingly, with Luther Burden a lot of the time. So, but I don't know, man, just because Rome is hurt, like we've forgotten about him and we've left him out to pasture, it feels like.
Well, and Ben called him his blankie. Ben Johnson said in the press conference, I know that the Rome is Caleb Williams' blankie.
And Olamide Zaccheaus.
I think Olamide Zaccheaus fits for me more of the blankie. I'm not arguing with a head coach of a football team who's been as successful as Ben Johnson has, but I just remember early in the season, specifically training camp and even the first few games, Olamide Zaccheaus got a large volume of the targets, and I'm glad that that has changed because I think there are better pass catchers on this team than Olamide Zaccheaus.
He's been dropping the ball too much.
That is one of the problems, right, is the drops. But there's a stat on profootballreference.com. It's called receiving success rate. And here's how it's termed. A successful reception gains at least 40% of yards required on a first down, 60% of yards required on a second down, and 100% of the yards required to move the sticks on third or fourth down. The denominator for this formula is targets. Based on that stat, the most successful Bear, who's not, you know, outside of the margins, because Caleb Williams technically leaves the stat in this team because it's 100% because he catches all the balls thrown his way, is Luther Burden III at 58.9%. Comparatively, next up is Colston Loveland at 55.1%. And the other guys we've been talking about, DJ Moore, 47.6%, and Rome Odunze, 45.6%. So you understand, like, to get 40% of the yards on a first down is like, if it's first and 10 or first and 15, because, you know, penalties were a thing early in the season, you're getting almost half of that back on first down. But the real key to that is the third and fourth down. You're moving the sticks when you catch the ball. And that's something Luther Burden and Colston Loveland have been very good at all season long.
Well, yeah, they're not afraid to throw to them even short of the sticks. Like, it's that part of it for me. Like, Grody, I don't know if you noticed that too, but how many times were we frustrated by the throw to Cole Kmet on third down when he's 3 yards short of the first down marker? And this is in prior coach years.
Vintage.
You know, how many times were we frustrated by that? And then you see it now, and do you have the same level of panic?
It's so funny because what you're saying, Layla, you referenced just recently, that's historically, that's vintage Chicago Bears, thrown it 3 yards shy of the stick.
Status quo.
Oh, I mean, like, offensive coordinator after offensive coordinator believed in the philosophy of get it to your guy and let them make a play. No, not on third down. No, man, you've got to make that a little bit more sure. What's really interesting, too, about Colston Loveland. So right now, DJ Moore leads the Bears in receiving at 671 yards. Rome Odunze, 661. Loveland at 622. It's not inconceivable that your first-round rookie ends up leading the Bears in receiving yards.
Give me those
year.
Numbers one more time.
Here it is. DJ Moore, 671 yards. Rome Odunze, 661. And Colston Loveland, 622. So this would mean that DJ Moore would have to have a poor game and Loveland would have to have a good game if you like seeing
but
something like
do
that.
Do you know who's 5 yards behind Colston Loveland?
That would be Luther Burden III. Yes. So, great call. He could end up being the leading receiver for the Bears.
Well,
that's
also
crazy.
This is the time where you can start to compare good team offenses to other good team offenses, and this is dangerous, and I haven't been here before. I'm new to this. But, you know, like, for example, Pete Kansas City, you know that Kelsey was going to be your moneymaker on a third down. Like, you just knew that. You knew he was working over the middle. But then you also had the how did Tyreek Hill get that wide open every single week conversation. So how are you utilizing these people's skill sets? And I think that's when you start to kind of fold and mix this all in. The game will dictate it for you. But,
sure.
Brody, you're right. There was a year where Cole Kmet was the leading receiver for
yes.
the Bears. And
yes.
that's plausible that it would come back again, especially when you see how trusted Loveland is in some of these plays. I think that that's such a valid argument to be made.
And when Cole Kmet was the leading receiver for the Bears, that was not healthy. This case, it would be healthy because that's what Colston Loveland is able to do. He comports himself often in terms of the way he runs routes as a receiver. These are the things that we talked about when the man was drafted, and it's starting to play out in front of us, as are so many things, so many development spots for the Bears.
And even to your point, Grody, earlier about how it's vintage status quo, that the Bears coach expects expects the playmaker to make a play once he gets the ball short of the stick on third down. Well, in a real offense, that's what playmakers do. And there's three guys on this Bears team, this one right now, where if they catch the ball 3 yards short of the stick, I expect them to get the first down. That would be DJ Moore, that would be Luther Burden III, and that would be Colston Loveland. Those are the three guys.
Fair enough. We are having to take a break here on Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Coming up next is halftime, and dating terms are coming at us fast and furious, but this new one, it has Marshall feeling some type of way.
Oh, I'm not happy with where we're going as a society.
Evergreen, but we'll get into this part of it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.